Praise to you. Obviously, I am not a Chin Traster sister. I think one of them went down, and from hopefully we'll be able to reschedule them for another time to share the music with us. Actually, I was thinking Jenny could have substituted, and nobody would could tell the difference. You know. The song that they were going to share with us, it was not so far from Bethlehem. You know, it's basically the idea that Christ, even though we focus on Christ in Bethlehem, it seems so far away 2,000 years ago. But the truth of the matter is, we're not that far from Bethlehem. Christ is here present with us always. He's present in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. And he's present in God's Word as well. So all we need to do is open up God's Word, and he's there to speak to us. Today, the verses that Pastor John will be sharing is coming from the book of John. These are very, very familiar verses. In fact, they're so familiar, I'm not even going to ask you to open your Bible. Okay, these verses are so familiar that what I'm going to do, actually I'm just going to test you. I'm going to recite the first part of the verse, okay, and you will give me the complete verse, okay? We'll see how this goes. If this doesn't work right, you might not see me here again. So anyway, the first verse is John 10:10, very familiar passage where Jesus talks about him and compares himself to a shepherd. And John 10:10 starts out like this. The thief comes to steal, to kill, and to destroy. But I came that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly. Great. You know these verses, okay? The second verse is John 16:33, okay? And John 16:33 is kind of a towards the end of a whole passage where Jesus just teaches his disciples just about a lot of different things. And so John 16:33 starts out like this. These things I have spoken to you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. Okay, great. Praise God. And may God done. May the word of God continually dwell deeply in your heart. Brother John, as you come up here, let me just share a little bit about Brother John's background. Brother John Brady has been in ministry for many, many years. He spent 48 years as pastor of Woods Forest Baptist Church here in Houston, which is kind of near North Shore of Northeast part of town. He served on the board of Baptist Mission Centers for over 20 years. I spent 11 years as trustee of North American Mission Board, one of the founders of Southern Baptists of Texas. He's kind of retired, but not really retired. He's associate pastor of fellowship at of the Nations and pastor of pastoral care and missions. One of the more interesting things he's listed here is that his church, where he was the pastor for so many years, actually merged with another church called the Fellowship of the Nations. And he's now the fellowship pastor there. The senior pastor is Pastor John Brady, Jr., his son. So hopefully you'll be able to share a little bit more about his background.
So glad to be here this morning. We just praise the Lord and had good fellowship. Brother Tommy's called me several times. Getting together in fellowship and eating. We'll have to do that later. I don't need to eat too much. Are y'all happy in the Lord this morning?
Yes.
Amen. I had preached many years ago. We started Wood Forest Baptist out in the North Shore, Uvalde at Wood Forest. And prior to that time, the Brother Shum, Brother Lockton, Shum, okay, when I pastored Cottage Grove in the old West End of Houston. And there's a mission of Woodridge Baptist to go out to Wood Forest. But in this mission conference, Brother Chum stayed in our home that week. It was a conference where someone representing home mission board, somebody foreign mission board. So we got to know him during that time. And then later on, he became pastor. So probably known you 50 years, brother. And we're still only 39, aren't we? So the Lord blesses. So I have some ties there. But the greatest tie is we have Jesus Christ, our personal Savior. Amen? Amen. I've been warning you to get warmed up with me. In John 10:10, you quote it. The thing is, Jesus told us what the devil's side is. He has come to kill or steal, kill, and destroy. But I am come that you might have life. From the Amplified, it means full life, abundant life. It's a life that should be overflowing, an overflowing life. And then in John 16:33, Jesus, of course, getting ready to be crucified, and the Son of God, he tells them, be of good cheer. So we ought to cheer up this morning. He said, I have conquered the world. Y'all believe that this morning? And so many times we're so defeated as Christians. So I want to speak in essence about the victorious Christian life. I'm going to give you probably about 8 or 10 verses. I wish you'd write them down, because, folks, there is victory in Jesus. The devil said that's a lie. Oh, man, a lot of people think, well, let's actually get to heaven. No, we have victory now. We need to have a little taste of heaven down here. Dr. R.G. Lee, famous old pastor, he's with the Lord, pastored a church there in Memphis, Tennessee, Bellevue. He observed one day, he said, you know, the average Christian is so subnormal, if you ever got normal, everybody thinks you're abnormal. So this morning, what is the normal Christian life? Are we submitted? You know, we're defeated, we get depressed all the time, but the normal Christian life is to be a life of overcoming, a life of victory, a victory over ourselves, victory over sin, a victorious life. So we'll give you some definitions here. It should be the victorious life is growing, is maturing in the likeness of Jesus. A lot of times we think, well, maturing is I studied 40 verses. I've taken this study course. Those things are good, but maturity is to become more like Jesus. So we finished 2009. Can you say, well, I'm more like Jesus now, beginning 2010, than I was 2009? Oh, man. Victorious living. Are you really hungry to grow in the Lord? That's what I'm talking about, growing in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's growing. We're to be more than conquerors. We'll get to those verses in a minute. But literally, as we grow, the Lord's trying to lead us into greater intimacy with Him. So a lot of times we'll go through trials. Huh? Folks, Jesus said, you'll have tribulation, John 16:33. Didn't He say that? You will, but in me you can have peace. So we can have, there'll be times of trial and testing. But thank God, Jesus literally conquered the world for us that it might not harm us. Of course, the thing is, we know that there'll be a lot of heartache and all. But y'all know the battle is the Lord's, amen? You try to fight the battles, you're going to lose. I want to give you victory verses this morning. So if you'll turn now, the first one this side of John 10:10 is 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. Get my glasses working, here you go. 2 Corinthians 2:14. Paul said, Now thanks be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ, and maketh manifest or reveals the savor or the fragrance of His knowledge by us in every place. The thing is, what I'm talking about is victory in all things. If you have a Bible, you ought to underline these words. He always causes us to triumph. Triumph for Christianity. He always causes us to triumph. And the picture is, literally, He leads us in a triumph. He leads in triumph. The thing is, in that day, Paul knew about the Roman generals would go out. They'd make conquests. And they would come back with them, marching up with all their victors and all the spoil. Well, I'll tell everybody that Jesus is the mighty conqueror. And He conquered death, hell, and the grave, and He's alive today, and He wants to live His life through us. That's the work of the Holy Spirit, make Jesus real to us, and Jesus real through us. So always triumphant. That's God's standard. A lot of times we think it's just up again, down again. No, God's standard is victory. You say, well, a lot of times I don't feel victorious. Well, we don't walk into victory by feeling. We walk by faith. So if you make some notes there, I wish you'd put down the fact victory in all things. In all things. Whenever, wherever. Let me say, through the years I've learned that we need to practice His presence. The same people, is in your heart? Don't we tell our children, everybody, to give your heart to Jesus? When He comes into our life, Jesus never leaves us nor forsakes us. So He's living in us. So, victory in all things. Well, the terms of victory, put down 1 Corinthians 15:57. That's a great resurrection chapter. Paul talking about so many things. But 1 Corinthians 15:57. thanks be to God, here it goes again, to God who giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. The application is, y'all, as saved people, salvation was a gift. You didn't get baptized to be saved. If you did, you better check that out. Don't join the church to be saved. We receive Jesus Christ, the gift of God's eternal life. Can somebody say amen for me this morning?
Amen.
Abraham, the gift of God's eternal life. So victory, our victory in the Lord Jesus Christ is a gift. So many times we're trying to work it up. I'm going to work it up. No, victory. You need to claim the victory at the cross. According to the Word of God, when we accepted Jesus, we look back to Calvary, how he died for us. But you know, John 3:16, for God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son. Victory. God gave. We had to receive the gift. And the thing is, we can claim victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. So, oh, Brother John, you don't know what I'm going through in my marriage. You don't know what I'm going through financially. Brother and sister, he's bigger than all that. Amen? He gives us victory in all these areas. So, it's victory and it's a gift of God. The scripture teaches that unbroken fellowship of victory can have the Lord. That's why the Holy Spirit is alive in us today. So victory, the terms of victory, the gift of God, the condition of victory now, which is right now, 1 John 5. So we've talked about victory in all things, 2 Corinthians 2:14. Terms of victory, it's a gift. Can I emphasize that again, folks? The many times we think of, but just wait till you get a good feeling. And the devil will give you a feeling. You can get a bottle of whiskey and have a feeling. Right? Aren't you glad, though, we can have the joy and peace of the Lord Jesus Christ? 1 John chapter 5. Look at verses 4 and 5. Now, the condition of victory on our part is to believe. For whatever is born of God overcometh the world. Hey, the word overcomer comes from the Greek word Nike. You might know anything about Nike. Probably some of you have some Nike shoes, a Nike coat. Nike is victory. And brother, look at what he says. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory overcometh the world. What? Even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? We do believe. You know, the word believe, by the way, everybody understands, means to commit to. A lot of people think, well, I believe there was a Jesus. Just think about a historical Christ. But as saved people, praise the Lord, he comes to live in us. Believe means you commit yourself. So we that are saved, we can be victorious. Whatever is born of God overcometh the world. How can we overcome? Even through faith. Faith. So, well, Brother John, what is faith? All these many years, I was saved at 16. I was pastor at 18, just outside of my hometown of Hearn, Texas. And it's been a joy to be a pastor, really, 56 years. And took that little church. I just finished my freshman year in Baylor. Little church outside of my hometown, anyway. 2 months later, I married my wife, Yvonne, high school sweetheart. So the Lord's been good. I've preached around the world several times. And I go out to Kenya. Been out there about 15 times. Pray for me. Like get another group go out there maybe next this coming June. But you know, the joy of the Lord. Here's the victory of faith. We talk about different things about faith. I've learned now through these many years, faith is confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ. I've told people get ready to have surgery, to have confidence in a doctor and the various things. Faith is really a confidence in the person Jesus Christ. Have y'all found he can be trusted for everything? Amen. We learn this through the years, you know. Some of you are widowed and widowers, you've gone through many things. It's your confidence in that person, the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm teaching on Sunday morning back at the church through Matthew. The amazing thing is lepers who were, you know, they're supposed to cry out, unclean, unclean, and forbidden to get around people. But they felt they could go to Jesus. Who is this man that could heal them? They felt they could go to Jesus. That woman with an issue of blood for all those years, she felt like she could just touch his garment. They felt they could go to Jesus. They had confidence in him. They heard him teach. They had confidence. Do you have confidence in Jesus? Tell me, amen?
Amen.
Confidence. So sometimes we wonder, why do I go through all these things? All of these things God permits that you and I will trust him more. Greater confidence in the person, Jesus. I know Hebrews talks about, Hebrews 11 and 12 talk about faith and all these many faith. And faith does come by hearing, hearing by the word of God, Romans 10, 17. But the thing is confidence in the person of Jesus. You have some problem this morning? You haven't committed to Jesus? You believe he's able to do exceedingly abundantly? Ephesians 3, 20. Unto him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, the Holy Spirit in us, that there might be glory in the church. Is he able? He is able to do exceedingly abundantly. Now, what are you burdened about this morning? Everybody carries some burden. What are you burdened about? Ephesians 3:20. Unto him who is able. Is he able? Is there anything the Lord can't do? Tell me. But he is able to do, think about this, exceedingly abundantly above all we can ask or think. Well, I've been asking for some big things. Well, he's going to do more than that. Have a little pep rally here. Cheer up. Say, God, he's conquered the world for us. Amen. Come on. Well, I'm so used to having a little amen section, so I kind of try to create my own. Well, the terms of victory. Victory in Jesus. That old song, I heard it the first time when we had come to Houston, an old what I call stamp song. The old victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He is the mighty, mighty conqueror. Well, turn now to Romans chapter 5, verse 17. Romans chapter 5, verse 17. An unusual truth. Romans 5, 17. For if by one man, this is Adam, one man's offense, death reigned. From one man, much more they who have received abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one Christ Jesus. We know Romans 5:12, wherefore by one man sin entered into the world and death by sin. So death passed upon all men for all have sinned. But now Paul is saying, well, first Adam has had his influence on us. But look, we can reign in life. Literally, from the Amplified, we can reign as kings in life. So, Brother John, me reigning as a king, I don't have a castle, maybe I only have a car. But the thing is, reigning as kings, talking about living in the power of the resurrected Lord. Does he have all power? Of course he does. So, reign in this life as kings through the victorious Lord Jesus Christ. I'll give you another verse here. Now turn over to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. But I said Romans was the mountain range. The 8th chapter would be the highest mountain peak. Romans 8, 37. Paul cries out, they and all these things were more than conquerors through him that loved us. Conquerors, hupernakeo. Super nut Nike. There you go. When you see a little check mark, I know the golfer didn't have the victory, but yeah, old Tiger. They had all these things. We are more than conquerors. See, a lot of people, they do a lot of success in the eyes of the world. But and you might not feel it, well, I've never been in all the world. But you and I can have victory in our heart and our daily life. We can be victorious Christians, overcoming, have power in prayer, power to witness. Oh, man, the Lord give you power to witness the people where you are. A lot of times they say, well, I wish I could go to Africa. Those romantic names, not Basha, not Kuru, and all those places. No, it starts right here at home, sharing Jesus with our neighbors. So in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him that loved us. More than conquerors. This is continuous victory, perennial victory. This is Paul's, I think best way to put it, Paul's victory cry, triumphant cry. If you have your Bible open there, if you look at the verse 35, what shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? That is as it is written, for thy sake we're killed all the day long. We're counted sheep for the slaughter. But they, in all these things, were more than conquerors. And look what he says, I have persuaded neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present for things to come, nay height, nor height, nor depth, nor any, even in creation, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. Aren't you glad he has conquered? He's a mighty conqueror over death, hell, and the grave. I've done many a funeral. I will tell you, if you know Jesus, if there's no purgatory, if you know Jesus, Paul said, 2 Corinthians 5, absent from the body, present with the Lord. Aren't you glad of that? Absent from the body, present with the Lord. Immediately, we go home to be with Jesus. And that's why Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 4:13, I don't write to you. He's talking about, but we should sorrow not. He talks about the Lord is coming. And so in our minds and hearts, praise God, we know we have a mighty Savior. He's in our heart. So I'm concerned this morning about us really claiming the victory in our Lord Jesus Christ. So we should be sure to give you all these great verses. Yeah. Continuous victory. Say, oh, Brother John, that's impossible. No, the Holy Spirit says we daily confess our sins. And, you know, three things need every day we need to study the Word. We study the Word, God talks to us. We pray, we talk to the Lord. Then talk for the Lord, witness Him. You all got that down? The 1, 2, 3. Study the Word. God speaks to us through the Word of God. And I want to study the Word, then we pray. We talk to Him. And we talk for the Lord. You can be a blessing out there. So you say, well, I've gone through so many trials. And talked to a lady last night. Had some cancer surgeries. And her husband died. Used to be part of our church. They live up on the side of Navasota. He's talking about some things. But you know what? She's given that to the Lord. And what's happened, she's helping other people. Anything you go through, God will give you a ministry in that area. So you say, well, I've been through so many things, preacher. Use those things. Because other people are out there hurting. Y'all believe we can help people? Say amen.
Amen.
Amen. Just let the Holy Spirit of God have His way. We're more than conquerors of Jesus that loved us. Again, the triumphant cry of either death. Nothing can separate from the love of God. So we have the power of the Holy Spirit living within us. Now, I want to give you one other section. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Verses 3 and 4. It's very important. Start with verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, that we have a fleshly body, we do not war after the flesh. We get this word war. Christian war. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, fleshly, but mighty through God, pulling down the strongholds. Pulling down the strongholds, casting down imaginations. And every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and bringeth into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Now we're in a warfare. I said, man, I can overcome. We're in a warfare because the weapons of God are mighty. That literally means creating might. How many Christians have been defeated? We get defeated by so many things, so many stinking things. You know, sometimes we need to think about the four A's. Many times our actions are not right. Our attitudes, our ambitions, and our appetites. Put down the four A's. These are the areas we need to deal with. Oh, man. With simple actions break God's fellowship. A lot of times, well, I don't do a lot of stuff like that. No. But we have simple attitudes. And then let the Lord work in our attitudes. And so talk about pulling down strongholds. That's fortresses that the devil has worked in our life. A lot of people have fears. The devil's worked that in your life. By the way, it's the devil's fault. But the weapons of our warfare are mighty through God. You notice, and your word open, casting down imaginations. Where do imaginations start? Imaginations, every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, that's in the mind. Bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Your thoughts. Now, y'all, but you've been watching on television. What about on the computer? The day of the pornography. Well, you realize it's not, my brothers and sisters, nobody who really loved the Lord. We're living in a day, we did pray for America. We're having such moral decay. Moral decay. A lot of men in office, like even popular men like Tiger, the immorality has come in, and you know, the world just laughs about it. We need to pray, folks. Did you know the Roman Empire, the great Roman Empire, was not conquered from without? The Roman Empire went down because of moral decay. I want y'all to think about it. Young people, think about that. Read the last part of chapter 1 in Romans. Paul talks about the men giving up the use of the woman. And, you know, sex, same sex, all that kind of thing. It's in there. Somebody said, if you say anything about it, you're not politically correct. I'm just telling you what Paul, what the Word of God said. Y'all believe the Word of God is still true?
Amen.
Amen. I'm telling you. So, thing is, we have this warfare going. They have warfare in your marriage trying to tear it up. Young people, even being, and parents may be in a warfare. But Jesus Christ, 1 John 4:4, greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. So, Jesus said, in the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. And then, thief has come to kill and destroy, but I'm come that you might literally enjoy life. And the abundant life, abundance, and overflowing. That's not just money. I mean, oh, I'm telling you, the greatest thing, folks, is family. And people know, get to know through the Lord. So we're living in the abundant life. That's God's will. Well, Brother John, how can I do it? Just daily confess our sins to the Lord. It's always been on my heart for a long time, and I've preached about it so many years. It's the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Titus 2:13, I want you to write that one down. We better do this. Titus 2:13 says, looking for that blessed hope and the glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Paul told Titus and the Christians, look for Jesus. Look for him to come. Looking for that blessed hope. The word hope is a certainty. A lot of people say, well, hope it doesn't rain. Hope. Hey, that word hope is a certainty. Looking for that certainty that Jesus will come. And so many of the signs, great signs Jesus gave in Matthew 24, y'all. Matthew 24:8, he said, the name wars and things like this. And he said, these are the beginning of sorrows. The word sorrows and birth pains. What happens when it's near the time of birth? The birth pains start, bringing forth a child. Right now, there are a lot of signs that are really, really working. One of the greatest signs of all, if I remember, because Israel was scattered for 2,000 years, but in 1948 they became a nation. I heard on Christian radio earlier this morning that I think the Palestinian area was shooting rockets again over the little homes of the Jewish people. Yeah. So apparently, you know, just don't fool with them. If you mess with them like that, hurt their families, they're going to come after you. So there's been something that's going on about the last 48 hours. I'm just trying to say, you've been looking for Jesus to come. What if he were to come by 1 o'clock? Are you really right? Are you saved? What if he really were to come? When we are called up to meet the Lord as Christians, we'll stand before the Christian judgment, the judgment seat. And he'll show us what we could have been, we would have been, and should have been. Amen? So we'll have to give an account of our lives. And the scripture says, our works be tried by fire, not us. But I wonder how many things, activities, we have so much activities going, it's just going to go up smoke on this day. How many things do our churches do that really is for the glory of God, not just entertainment? You know, a lot of times, just like Christmas, we have a lot of things that go on, and I enjoy all these, you know, but a lot of times we find ourselves just entertaining. We used to put so much time in the big cantatas, days and days, brought in the animals and did everything. I didn't ride a camel, but we had a lot of things going. And then it was over with. Did you get anybody saved? You know, the bottom line, did people grow? Most choir members just were so worn out. But it didn't work attending for Jesus. But I'm saying, y'all, looking for that blessed hope. Now, after years of counseling, somebody loses a loved one. If your loved one has died recently or within 20 years, if they knew the Lord, they're absent from the body, present with the Lord. Amen? So, I'll give you two R's. What helps you in the present? What will help you today? This is January the 3rd. I don't know where last year went to you. Yeah, the first R is look back and remember. the blessings, the old song, Precious Memories. But second, I'm talking about helping the present, put back the past, what helps in the future. What helps in the future is to know there'll be a reunion. There'll be a reunion one day. You understand, we will see our loved ones again? Say amen.
Amen.
We'll see our loved ones again. The reunion, you've got to focus on that. Man, it could be today. We'll be back together again. Oh, man. We ought to be excited. Jesus, all these prophecies. They've had more earthquakes. Oh, man, such things, that tsunami a year ago. Oh, I'm telling you. And the turn, the world religions, they'll come together. We're going to be caught up and meet the Lord in the air. We won't be here during that time of tribulation, Revelation 7 through 19. Read the book. Read the word. Somebody said, you won't be happy. Read the last chapter. The last chapter, man. Of course, we were in the Father's house forever and ever. So look back and remember. Maybe that's the word some of you need. You've lost dear loved ones. I said, oh, preach, it hurts. I know it does. I know it does. But the Holy Spirit will let us look back and remember and look forward to the reunion. I made many trips to Africa, and I said one day, what if I were to call home from Kenya to my wife Yvonne? I hadn't been gone, say, about 3 weeks. And I'd say, Yvonne, I'll be there next Tuesday. And she said, if you come next Tuesday, if you don't, that's all right. I said, wait a minute, I'll catch the next plane. She's been a faithful lover. Well, I'm just saying, why don't we have a little expectancy? Somebody's been away from you, aren't you excited to see loved ones who came in at Christmas? Expectancy. Looking. I was so tickled. We had some snow, y'all know, several weeks ago. And the newsmen got all excited. It's going to snow, it's going to snow. Everybody got so excited about the snow. And of course, it came. That's unusual for Houston. Anyway, why don't we have a joyous expectancy? A lot of things that we have it built around Jesus. You say, oh, preach, that's escapism. Say what you want to, but he is coming. King of kings and Lord of lords. You know, a lot of the Christmas music we sing is not for his first coming, because we know it's supposed to be king of our heart. But one day he will come back. The battle of Armageddon, in that 7 years, we'll come back with him. He'll reign upon this earth. Let us see this whole earth like it was for Adam and Eve messed it up. Hey, folks, that'd be better than going to Hawaii, amen? Okay. Victory in Jesus this morning. Well, I've given you these verses. I kind of rushed over them hurriedly. But that's God's standard. Not up again, down again, fit again, you know. Just say, oh, well, I'm just down right now. Well, we claim victory by faith. If you're in fellowship with the Lord, 1 John 1, you're in fellowship with the Lord. Our fellowship is with him. And one another, what I call a koinonia, our fellowship. We need that fellowship. We can walk in the light. When you get out of fellowship, say, man, I feel so dry. I just feel, 1 John 1:9 says, why do y'all quote that? If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Y'all leave that this morning?
Amen.
Amen. Say amen with me.
Amen.
Okay. I've had people who come down and we've prayed with them. And I said, you realize that verse, sure, we confess. Confess means say with. Two words put together. We said, God, what you said is true. I'm not right. We confess it. It says, he is faithful and just. He is faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us. Come stand on God's faithfulness. Every time people come to church and we pray, they took the burden back home with them. That's true, Brother Tom. Time and time again. They say, well, Lord, help me. And we just pick our burden up, take it right back home. I want us to bow in prayer right now. We bow in prayer together. So our heads are bowed. And what I'd like to say today, Brother John, I've just got some big burdens. Pray for me about this victorious walk. Anyone have a special request? Just stick your hand up for a moment. Pray for me this morning, okay? God bless you. Anyone? To the left or to the back? Yeah. Maybe today, if Jesus came today, you know you're not saved. Really, friend, if you're not saved, in one heart, be away from hell. So as our heads are bowed, continue to pray. Anyone, I lift you in. Brother John, I know I need you to be saved. Remember me. Would you step up your hand for a moment? Okay. offer in prayer, if you've never been saved, we have to come to realize we're a sinner. We have to realize that He died for our sins. And then upon that realization, we can act with a prayer of repentance, changing mind about myself, my sin, and the Savior. Pray and ask Him to come into your heart. Do that right now. Because Romans 10:13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." While our heads are bowed, please do that. If you make that prayer, I'm going to stand at the front for a moment. We're going to have an invitation. If you've got a big burden this morning about some things in your life, I'd be glad to pray with you. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for your presence. Oh, Lord, thank you. You love us. Thank you, Lord, we can have an abundant life. You made it clear. Thank you, Lord, we have the mighty conqueror in us. Lord, so many times we're the conquered. Lord, so many times we're victims instead of victors. Thank you, Lord, for this church, how you've used it through the years. We pray, Lord, you continue to use it. Give them the shepherd they need. Yes, Lord, you've got so many great things. Thank you, Lord, for the sweet people we've met today. We thank you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together and sing. I'll meet you here. Time of prayer, if you'd like to.